The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Where do we even start with this one? Arkansas and Ole Miss, a big game over the weekend in War Memorial Stadium. About the worst weather conditions you could possibly ask for. In a game that Arkansas felt confident going in. Felt confident that they were going to win. Even after three quarters, felt very confident that they were going to get their first SEC victory under Chad Morris. Get their first SEC or even their first FBS victory on the season. And really get some things turned around to move forward into an easier stretch of their schedule. And it was all for naught. Where Arkansas gave up a big lead late in the game, loses by a final score to Ole Miss, 37-33. Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to unfold in this game. There's a lot of things that we're going to get to. And, of course, we will take your reactions as well. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. I think that with the injuries that were sustained by Ty Story and Devwall Whaley and Rakeem Boyd might have been the most crucial part of this game. I think that the defensive collapse on that final drive where Ole Miss literally went 97 yards with about 4 minutes left to go in the game, just drove down the field on Arkansas, was a big problem. Jordan Tiamu looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate, not only with his arm, but with his leg, as he produced over 528 yards, or about 528 yards himself. And this is the result that you get. And Tommy, as I think Chad Morris put it best, this is a heartbreaking loss for the Razorbacks.
No, it's a gut punch. I mean, because once again, you watch a big second half lead, and it's just something with this program where mentally they can't get over the hurdle and believe they can win down the stretch to make the play that makes the difference. Because once again, we see a big second half lead go down the drain. And it's offense, it's defense. I mean, the offense scored 6 second half points. That's not going to get it. I mean, no touchdowns, what, 2 field goals in the second half? Mm-hmm. That ain't going to cut it. So, in the end, when you had to make a play, and it, you know, for all the offensive woes, for all the offensive injuries, you still just needed a third and fourth down stop at some point that final drive in the last 4 minutes. If you could have done just that, that's enough to win. And then, you know, the lasting image that all of us have is what? Cole Kelly overthrowing his wide receiver, what, 5 or 6 yards over
easily
his head?
That. It was
5 or 6 yards over his head and an interception that more or less ends the game.
Yeah, and that was the most brutal thing about it, is just because you felt like that what Ty Story and Devwall Whaley and Rakeem Boyd were doing offensively, as long as they were in the game, you felt like, oh, this Arkansas is going to keep scoring. Because up until that point, Arkansas was scoring on every single drive. They didn't punt until late in the game, which is such a huge accomplishment for Arkansas offensively of what they've been able to do. And you know that the issues that Ole Miss had in the secondary, especially because Ty Story was 12 of 16 in this game for 122 yards, had 1 touchdown. He was also doing some good stuff with his feet, but that's essentially what got him beat. He had 70 yards in this game, 70 yards rushing, which is pretty incredible for him. But he took a lot of hits. Especially the last one that really knocked him silly is where he looked like he got clotheslined, almost like he got stone cold stunned by Steve Austin in the WWE. I mean, he was just brutally hit there, and that's what ended up knocking him out of the game. And when he went out of the game and those two running backs, you see what happens, and it would happen with almost any offense, but especially for Arkansas, when you lose your quarterback and your two best running backs, and that's what's giving you the offense production, when you lose them, that's what you get with the offense production. You get nothing. No touchdowns in the second half, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and that, you know, you'd like to find a fancier way to sum up what happened in the game, but I think we've pretty well done a pretty good job first 4 minutes of the show winding that up. I mean, it's your quarterback and your running backs are out of the game, and you don't score any points in the second half. You know, but still, your defense had a chance to step up for you. And did not. So, you know, there's a lot to discuss when it comes to all this. So.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to break it all down. We're going to get into the reasons behind it, how it happened, why it happened, try to make sense out of the whole thing, or at least we'll try to do our best to make sense out of all of it. Of course, we'll get into those injuries, and I know that Chad Morris will for sure have an update on those players, and that'll be huge for Arkansas. I know they're playing Tulsa this weekend, a team that's also only won one game, a team that Arkansas should beat even with their second string, you would think, but you never want to guarantee anything at this point in time. Never want to guarantee anything. Of course, we'll have some audio from Chad Morris also after the game as well. But doesn't it just feel like, is this one worse than the Colorado State game? Because it ended in the same way where Arkansas played really well for the first three quarters, their two and a half quarters. Some things went wrong. The other team stormed back and ended up getting the victory. It seems like it's a familiar feel to the Colorado State game, but I just almost feel like this one might be a worse feel than the Colorado State game.
I guess it wasn't for me because I was watching the game with Ty, and the whole way I was telling him, I said, I don't have a good feeling about this. I don't have a good feeling about this. I
mean, you jinxed him, Tommy. That's on you.
Well, I mean, why? Give me a reason I should have been confident about them holding a second-and-a-half lead.
You shouldn't have.
Give me one good reason I should believe this team was going to get it done in the second half with a lead. And in not knowing that the extent of the injuries and, you know, how the MASH unit was going to look in the second half. But, you know, what was it, 27-17 at halftime, if I remember right? So, I mean, why would I believe that they would get that done?
I mean, you have no reason to believe that. I'm just being honest with you.
I guess in the second half they had the 30-17 lead after Limpert's field goal early in the third quarter, first score of the second half, and then
correct.
You know, 13-point second half lead. You know, I didn't feel good about it. You know, and so is this one worse than Colorado State? I don't think so because Ole Miss and the Mountain West team, you know, I guess. I expected Arkansas to win the game at Colorado State. I expected Arkansas to beat North Texas. You know, Ole Miss game, it's a toss-up. It's a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lost it. And you beat your – the hard part, again, is once again, there's lots of things you can point to and to take nothing away from Ole Miss because they made the plays and Tomo's, you know, tremendous quarterback. But – Arkansas, once again, does things to beat themselves, and that's the difficult part to watch.
Mm-hmm. And, well, and the thing is maybe why I feel worse about it, or at least some people do, is because you felt like with the improvements in the way that you were looking over the past few weeks that you were just – this was going to be it. This is where you finally – you get a team that can maybe match up with you talent-wise. You felt like you had a good game plan going in. Of course, you had it in Little Rock and the atmosphere and all of this stuff. You felt like everything was setting up perfectly for it. Yeah. And then when it does get taken away from you in that regard, I think it hurts more just because the expectations were a little higher where going into Colorado State, you didn't know what this team was yet. You feel like you had a good idea of what this team was becoming, but now it's just all – shot away, and it almost feels like, are you back at square one now? I mean, did all of that and all those improvements, all those good feelings that you had coming out of that Alabama game and coming out of that A&M game, is it gone? Is it over? Does it matter anymore? Did this game set you back a few weeks? Because that certainly has that type of feel.
Yeah. I mean, if you lose Ty Story for a game or two, you lose Whaley and Boyd for a game. Yeah, it sets you.
My goodness.
Definitely, this game will be proved to be very costly in that regard. So, I don't know. I mean, there, you know, Chad Morris keeps him. We're going to hear from him and what he said. You know, we're going to get back and go back to work, and we're going to get better. And we're, you know, I think I'm getting a little fatigued on that. I mean, I don't know if fans are, but I'm a little okay. I've heard that speech. Let's find something else to tell me. To console me after a game than that, but you know they've got five games left to get something done, and you know you can say we're getting better and getting closer and all these things we've all heard before. Fans just want wins.
Yeah,
start piling up a few wins. No one's expecting a bowl game. No one's expecting this team to obviously get to a point where I mean you're just wanting to not have a 2-win year or 3-win year.
And you're wanting to beat a team like Ole Miss that you feel like you're better than or at least going to compete with, and when you have a big lead against them in the second half to hold it.
I mean, this wasn't Alabama where you were beat before you teed it up because their talent was so much better.
Right.
This is a game you could have won, and you just didn't.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Let's go to the phone lines. Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, now joins us on the Morning Rush. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime. We love having you on. And unfortunately for the Razorbacks, they don't have a lot to be happy about right now. The Arkansas-Ole Miss game looked like Arkansas was in full control there for about two and a half, maybe three quarters. But due to some injuries, due to some defensive breakdowns, they ended up losing the game in a very similar fashion that we've all seen by a final score of 37-33. Just your reaction to that game. What went wrong? Where did it go wrong for the Razorbacks in this game?
All right. Okay, by full control, you meant they were leading by 17 points, but we all knew that was a tenuous lead.
Exactly.
What went wrong? I do believe that the biggest contributing factors were the loss of Rakeem Boyd. And, you know, Ty Story got hurt, and I think it was still a 9-point game. And, of course, Devaughn Whaley got hurt. So all those hurt. And the fact that I thought one of the biggest parts of the game was who could, like, win a third and two and get off the field. Mm-hmm. Who could get a turnover. And Arkansas won those in the first quarter, both courtesy of Ryan Pulley, with the breakup on third and two and the interception in the end zone. And that's what got them the lead. But then later in the game, Ole Miss was holding Arkansas field goals. And so even though Arkansas scored effectively each of the first seven times they had the ball, they didn't build a big enough lead up because they didn't get the field goal drives to turn into touchdown drives. And Ole Miss runs this big risk-reward defense. And the risk is when you blitz the linebackers and the safeties and you come with all that run pressure, if it breaks, it goes for a touchdown like Rakeem Boyd's. But later in the game, they were overpopulating the box and they were winning against the run, and that's how they held those drives to field goal drives. And to me, that was the difference in the game. And then the last message I left with Scott Inman on the pregame show, the roundtable on game day, was: what if Arkansas has a lead late in this game? Can they make a play on one side of the ball or the other to win it? Have the confidence to do that? And they didn't again. So they're still in this growing phase, and we know that they're one step away from closing out a win like that.
So Reed Bauer gives you a punt, puts the ball at the 3-yard line. What a great punt, but it rolled well. and 97 yards to go, 2:02 on the clock. What went wrong defensively there? I mean, Chad Morris addressed it, thought, you know, sideline, middle field, Tom, all these, but. You know, sum up that final defensive series for Arkansas where they just couldn't, as you said, third downs were so critical, fourth downs critical, and they just couldn't get there.
Well, Ole Miss just had a very powerful offense. We know that. But I think the biggest play was the little throwback to the tight end. Apparently, according to Scooter Harris, somebody didn't get that call. And so I don't know who was responsible for, you know, Ole Miss's left flats. But Dawson Knox caught the tight end pass out there and had one defender on the edge, and they had a receiver out there to account for that defender. If Scooter Harris doesn't chase him down, it's a touchdown. So he saved the touchdown there, and I don't know, maybe in retrospect it might have been better if they had scored it and given Arkansas one last chance. But anyway, I don't know who it was on, but somebody missed a call there. And then, of course, the quarterback draws. You know, you're late in the game, and your defense is – a lot of your guys have played – every snap in the game in the back seven, and Jordan Tamu is just a fabulous runner. So those types of things cost Arkansas in the end.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, it certainly seemed like things got a little testy in this game at times, too. And, of course, with some of the big hits that were going on, and an ejection was there. And, of course, Ryan Pulley got ejected at the end of the game. Is this just like bad blood between these two teams? Is it considered a rivalry? Is it a bad series? Just what caused all the testiness in this game?
Probably two teams that hadn't won an SEC game yet and felt like they're better teams than what their records indicate. And I don't know. I mean, just testosterone. It seemed like it was the kind of vibe of the night. It was rainy, and it just got a little bit out of – it wasn't like 11 o'clock kickoff, you know. It was a weird vibe about the whole game. And I think Ole Miss clearly was the first team that started getting out of line. I didn't like the way they celebrated when Ty Story got hurt. I thought the helmet-to-helmet shot was one of the worst I've seen this year. So, you know, that guy was ejected properly. But Arkansas, you know, they had their own. I mean, even though Austin Cantrell's shove on that DN, Shepard did not look violent by any means. The dude flopped and he got a flag. And then the blocking out of bounds on the kickoff return wound up to be costly. And then Ryan Pulley, I still don't know what he did. I think it was something he said. But just losing your cool. I mean, his frustration level has got to be high because he's playing at a good level. He's making, you know, game-changing, game-defining plays, and the team cannot follow through with wins. So I think all that added up, and, you know, you have to play with a little bit more discipline than that.
You know, rules are put into place for player safety and to control player behavior, right? And this targeting rule was put in, what, two or three seasons ago? And I'm not sure what effect it's really had, because it seems like every game you watch, not just Arkansas, but just watch SEC football or college football in general, it seems like every game there's a targeting foul that leads to an ejection. This rule is not having the effect it needs to have, or the effect that the rules committee intended on the game.
Well, I see what you're saying, Tommy, but I also think sometimes, now Vernon Dasher's shot on Story, sometimes a runner's helmet drops like at the last second or something like that, and some of those are intentional. Now, he led with his helmet. Sometimes it's hard to lead with your shoulder, but I know that those DBs, probably every program in the country, the DBs are taught to lead with your shoulder and not your helmet. So Vernon Dasher's ejection was right and proper. And the problem with that being, it looked really bad the way Ty Story's head jerked around. So I don't know what else, you know, beyond possibly a second game, you know, violation for that you could do. But sometimes in the course of a game, helmets collide just based on the way an offensive player might drop his head when the defenders arrive.
But they're using the crown of the helmet. And they're you see some of these hits. You're right that it's just football. But you look at like the Florida Vanderbilt game, and you look at some of these where these hits are vicious with intent to hurt their opponent, and using the helmet as a weapon. And those are the kind of hits they're trying to get out of football. And the rules not having the effect they're intending to get that kind of activity out of the game.
Yeah, I don't know what the national numbers are in terms of ejections and targeting fouls, but that's what it's there for, and I don't know if the rules committee will have to have further discussions about can we do anything more than this. But you're right, man. Guys should be knowing not to lead with their health. It's bad for their own health as well.
That's right.
And, you know, Tom, another thing that I wanted to ask you about in this game, too, of course, was the injuries that happened and how much of an impact it could happen or did have on Arkansas against Ole Miss. I mean, can this offense get anything going without having Ty Story? I mean, do they have to have all three of these guys together to beat some sort of semblance of offense here? Because they have Tulsa and Vanderbilt coming up, so those are some winnable games, at least you would think so. But can they find any type of hope with Cole Kelly at the helm?
Well, I think they can, and I also think it's very helpful to have all your weapons. By the way, everybody noticed, I think this is why Razorback fans are heartened for the long haul, is how hard Rakeem Boyd and Devwall Whaley ran in that game, running through arm tackles almost on every play, getting extra yardage. I mean, Rakeem Boyd has been a fabulous pickup for Arkansas. So it looked like he tweeted last night, all is well or all is good. So maybe he just had a bruised tailbone or something, but is it going to be able to come back? We'll find out more about Devwall Whaley. Looks like concussion protocol for Ty Story. So, you know, Whaley missed two games of that. We'll see what grade Ty Story's is. What gets me is that Cole Kelly comes in and his first play in the fourth quarter is the touchdown pass, or in the second quarter is the touchdown pass to LaMichael Petway. But then late in the game when he was in, and I know they're trying to chew some clock and just move the chains, but at some point maybe you take a shot because those guys had proven that they could get open against the Ole Miss secondary. So I think that's maybe one of the frustrating things is every once in a while if you could take a shot, you never know when a big play could break. And I think that's got to be a part of their offense if Cole Kelly starts against Tulsa.
Well, I guess when you're a 1-6 team, a one-win team, the only thing you want to see is another 1-5 or 1-6 team. You get that this week with Tulsa. At least you got
Oh, yeah, and by the way, if y'all weren't watching last Friday, the way they lost, they had a defensive end get a unsportsmanlike conduct for a shove on the quarterback that was just inexcusable with 20 seconds left in the game. So, you know, those guys are rigging. They got an extra day to prepare. They always have a little something to try to get the upset on Arkansas. So, No easy victory for the Razorbacks, but I expect they'll come out with much the same energy. I mean, the team is playing hard. You cannot deny that. And I think Chad Morris is going to stick with the program, and, you know, we'll see if they can get one on Saturday.
Tom, real quick before I let you get out of here, something that we discussed a little bit, the center position and the snaps. It just seems like that's really what's holding up Arkansas's offense in a lot of ways. I mean, is they going to have to keep maneuvering guys around, or are they just going to have to keep developing guys like Ty Cleary and whatnot to try to figure that out? Because it's costing Arkansas a lot of plays, and with Arkansas knowing what type of talent they have, you can't really afford to have negative plays on a lot of these plays just because of a high snap.
Well, I can recall, two plays maybe three where the snaps threw off the balance or the rhythm of a play. I haven't gone back and watched the replay of it yet, so maybe there was more. I mean, you might be able to say that, but I think what Chad Morris has said in recent weeks is that's their best five, and, you know, they're just going to try to keep working on Ty Clary's delivery on the snaps. So I don't know if there's another solution out there, but was it more than two?
Yeah, the few ones I saw, there's at least five of them that I saw. Now, some of them they were able to get the play going and still made up for it, and it was fine, but, you know, it's the inconsistency there and getting plays to start off as fast as they need it to has definitely been a problem.
I agree with you that it throws some things off, but the quarterbacks have saved several of those and have been able to, you know, make the play happen like Kelly against A&M. But I guess they're liking what Ty Cleary brings in terms of identifying the front and getting the blocking scheme together and then getting the help from Johnny Gibson and Yelta if need be. And his physicality, otherwise they would have tried something different. So I think they're just going to try to get Clary to be more consistent. And you have to think, though, this is only about his, third, fourth game
right.
to start at center. So it's like the rest of the team. They're a work in progress.
No doubt about it. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, my man.
You bet, you guys.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Welcome in the former quarterback for the Razorbacks, Tyler Wilson, into the show. And Tyler, you know, we did the pregame show there together before the game. Felt good, felt confident about Arkansas's chances. Looked good there for about two and a half, three quarters. But another disappointment and another colossal and epic collapse by Arkansas where they lose the game in Little Rock to Ole Miss. That's a tough one, really tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, you know, it was just pouring down rain the entire pregame show that you and I did there at US Pizza. And one of the things, you know, I thought it maybe played. I didn't know if it really played to an advantage for either team, but I thought Arkansas would have to run the ball really well, and that was one of the things we talked about on the pregame show. I expect, you know, Chad Morris and Joe Craddock to dial up a really solid run plan, and then, you know, be conservative in the passing attack. And you know, if Arkansas could rush the ball well, then I felt like they had really good chances. And I didn't think I really cared how Arkansas won as long as they got out of there with a win. You know, you had so much momentum, and I talked about it all week. You know, had multiple shows here in the Little Rock market, and I'm going, there's buzz around this football game. I don't know a 1-5 football team in the country that has this kind of buzz around it right now. And you just felt like if you could ink some kind of win in Little Rock with the Hudson Henry commit, that all the momentum in the world had shifted for this football team, for this staff, for everything. Obviously much improved, but just a dagger loss, I think, this weekend.
Okay, the last thing that everyone saw, and I know there's several of these series we want to go through, but I want to start at the end.
Yeah.
The last throw from Cole Kelly. Walk us through the play and what you saw. Obviously, the pass was overthrown. There appeared to be a wide-open receiver underneath, and he simply just overthrew that receiver for the final interception. That was the play that more or less ended the game. What did you see on the play?
Well, first of all, I'm watching the game like everybody else, and I have not watched it. I have not rewound it 100 times to look at the full field view. But I do know Quinn Grovey on the broadcast was critical to an extent that we did have an open receiver on the other seam, and I do think there was a check down open as well. You know, here's the deal, though. I mean, I am very hard to criticize a quarterback in the last 35 seconds of the game. You know, when you got to drive 80 yards in that situation, the odds of you pulling something off in that situation are slim to none anyway. Especially a guy that hasn't gotten the reps all week in practice, been getting 3 reps. And by the way, they don't give out 3 reps. They don't give out third string reps. You simulate the other team's reps at that point. So, you know, me criticizing Cole Kelly on the last throw of the game, you know, to me, that's minuscule. It's what happened the first, previous 4 possessions of which resulted in no points, a sack inside, the red zone, which got us outside of field goal position, and continuing, I'm more convinced than ever that Ty Story is the guy, and, just cross your fingers and hope that he's healthy this week, because I think he is, no question, the guy that gives us the best chance to win. And I could probably go into some more details, some things I saw out there I hate to criticize, but I do think that Cole Kelly at times is a little more, there were a lot of quarterbacks that I played with when they'd go up there and they'd try to be really sophisticated with a snap count. And they'd go up there and they'd say, they'd try to do it on 2 or on a hard count all the time. And I was always like, man, all we're doing when we do that is we're potentially drawing our guys to a false start. I mean, more often than not, we end up hurting ourselves in those situations more than helping ourselves. I saw Cole Kelly doing that on several occasions with the clap and the shotgun. You know, instead of just going up there and clapping your hands and letting the ball be snapped, we're trying to see what's going on defensively by fake clapping. We also get a false start late in the game. That was crucial by doing that. And, I those are little things, but I think it made a big impact late in the fourth quarter.
Well, even something else, Tyler, I don't know if you noticed it too, but a couple things I noticed is with Cole Kelly is that you had problems there where the play getting in, where Arkansas had to take some timeouts late because they couldn't get the play in. I don't know if it was on the sidelines or what Cole Kelly, but, just having that when you want to be tempo, you want to do some things, it really takes you out of the flow of the game when you're having to send in those signals and it's just taking so long, and then you end up using timeouts, very valuable timeouts that you could have used late in the game as well.
That's right. No, and it's hard to create and continue the tempo with the second string guy. There's always differences between the guys. So, but I do. There's certain things I saw that the tempo could have been kept, and there was nothing restricting. You're up behind the center. The ball is ready to be snapped, and we're waiting for some apparent reason. Those are all things that change the flow and. I think if you're probably in the quarterback room this weekend, I think Joe Craddock's probably telling Ty, we got to conserve ourselves. We love your grit. We love your determination. We love what you bring to the table, and that's part of the value and that makes every teammate rally around you. But when you turn it back in on the sideline, these guys are mean dudes now, and. I know we got to get the first down there. What was the – and this is curious. As I'm looking at the full complexity, Ty Story turned it up to try to get the first down there, obviously the big hit that took him out of the game. Mm-hmm. What was the down and distance during that? That's one I've got to look up because, if it was third down, obviously you got to try to go for it. But we'll take a look at that because that's one thing I'm curious about, what down and distance that was when he tried to come back against the grain there.
Well, and I could be wrong, Tyler, because I'm just having to remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it was on a third down play.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So, I mean, it was one of those you got to go and you got to get it.
Yeah.
Type of plays, and which is why you can't blame them too much.
It was first and 10. They threw that pick, and I thought it was. No, I just wanted to go back.
Not the pick, Ty. We're talking about Ty's story when he ran for it.
Rushed for 10 yards to the Arkansas 30. It was on second and 10.
So it was on second and 10. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought it was a mid down, but, you know, I mean, that's where you go out of bounds there. Now you got a third and short. And you know that one you don't have to go all out. And I think that's probably in the film room today. You're going, Ty, we still got another down here, and we got to protect that body.
Particularly after he'd taken a couple shots already, the throwback across the field. I mean, that wasn't like the first lick he took in the game.
Yeah, you know, and those are things too. I think this staff will really have to double look at. And you know, there were very few times, I think, in my career where I think Petrino felt it was really important. Tyler's not the biggest guy out there. He's, you know, 6'2.5", 6'3", 220 pounds max. Regardless of whether that's good, decent size, it's not. You know, you got big guys around you. You got a lot of other big guys out there. You're vulnerable at the quarterback position. You're vulnerable to the success. That outlet throwback is a little bit baffling to me. That's scary. That's really scary. Obviously, that was not the primary receiver there. He was trying to throw it to the running back down the middle of the field, and it got held up as he was going through the line of scrimmage. And so the outlet's to throw it back to Ty across the field. And they were sniffing that one out.
Well, see, and that's the thing that I keep wondering about. I know a lot of Razorback fans do, is just why would you even have plays that could jeopardize or could hurt your quarterback when you see how much of a difference it is when he's not in the game and you have to go with Cole Kelly? I mean, he is so valuable to this offense. I feel like you need to protect him at all means necessary.
And Chad Morris after the game was asked about that, and his answer on the throwback play when they threw it back, that was a release foul. They were supposed to go somewhere else with the ball first, and it ended up back over to Ty.
He was supposed to throw the ball down the middle to the running back, and again, so you know, Ty throws it out to the left. He throws it out there to the left sideline to a wide receiver, and the wide receiver is supposed to throw it to the running back that's releasing down the middle of the field. The running back gets held up to the line of scrimmage and is not able to get through, and so obviously, you throw it back across the field to your quarterback. Now, regardless, sometimes the primary is not open, but regardless, you're throwing it back across the field to a quarterback where you actually do have some blockers out there that are supposed to be protecting him. But you know, obviously, that didn't happen. It's still, you're throwing it, like, what's the risk reward? You know, we're throwing it all the way across the field to a quarterback. You know, that really has no business catching the ball in space and trying to do anything with it beyond that. And then, you know, the risk of we're throwing it 50 yards across the field, potentially laterally. And, you know, there's just a lot of bad things, I think, that could happen for that to be the safety valve. You know, I think, and that's probably something they're all looking, going, God, that play, I'm not so sure they'd draw that one up again. So That's something, you know, and that's one play out of, you know, 70 of them. But I did think that put Ty in a really bad situation at that point in the football game.
Yeah, that's not the type of play that you want to see called, and you never know. They may just burn that play and make sure that Ty Story's a guy. But we'll find out more about the extent of the injury for Ty Story today around noon, as well as Rakeem Boyd and Devwa Way. No doubt that those three players are pivotal to the offense success, and we'll see exactly the extent of that injury today when Chad Morris meets with the media.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.